Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Happy Saturday. Man, speaking of economic headlines, they're just coming fast and furious. People know we're not on the right track. All the polls say that. We're on a wrong track. And we're seeing things like inflation. And that's what crushed President Carter in 1980. I remember that. I graduated from college in 1983. And man, people were upset about the inflation. President Reagan had just been elected. That's a long time ago. I know I completely dated myself. I'm an old guy now. But we're talking inflation today. But we warned about this. If you're a follower of the Economic War Room program, in episode 125, we did a episode titled Things Have Changed. That was February 11th, 2021. And we were very early in that, saying that inflation is a much bigger problem than anybody is caring to admit. In fact, at the time, what we had was we had the Federal Reserve and all the economists and all the Congress saying, oh, no, this inflation, it's temporary. It's transitory. That was the key word that they used. It's transitory. They said it was transitory because they live in their ivory towers in Wall Street. They live, you know, in the posh penthouses in Washington, D.C. And to them, you know, oh, so what if the cost of their brie and pate goes up a little bit, they can handle it because it's just a fraction. But for those of us who live in the real world, actually the problem is that prices were going up very dramatically. They said, oh, it's just a supply chain thing. It'll be passing. It's not been passing. Remember, though, the term transitory? Mohammed El Aryan, one of the top economists in the world, he worked at PIMCO, he worked at Harvard, big deal, big name. He came out at the end of 2021, you know, after they've been saying it's transitory all year, and his quote was, transitory was the worst inflation call in the history of the Fed. In fact, he said the characterization of inflation as transitory is probably the worst call in the history of the Fed, and it results in a high probability of a policy mistake. He said that on Face the Nation. He was right, absolutely. Our analysis, it's dangerous to not take inflation seriously. Real people are being hurt. Those who point to lower inflation today as proof that it was transitory are gaslighting us. And, you know, there are so many articles I've read recently. Oh, yeah, lower. Until it came out, and it came out, you know, April 10th, consumer prices rose 3.5% from a year ago. We still have serious inflation. And that, where is it hitting? It's hitting energy costs, it's hitting shelter, it's hitting food. All of those things are not transitory. Those are very real costs. It's dangerous, and we're having to face all of those problems. We've got Mike Carter here with me. Mike.
As we unpack that headline, and I remember the transitory stuff. I remember the battle plan you put that said, get ready for the 1970s all over again. What is it that's driving the inflation? Let's just back to basics here. Did the stimulus money come before or after they were talking about this?
Oh, yeah. It's the Biden Inflation Reduction Act. That's what they called it. That's what they always call it. Look at what they name their legislation and think it's going to have the exact opposite effect. It should have been the Inflation Increase Act. There was a lot of handing out of money. It is a very dangerous thing. The Fed did not see it coming, and they continued to pump money into the system. Too much money chasing too few goods is the classic definition of inflation. And we had that during COVID. We had, you know, people were staying home from work. They weren't producing anything, but they were all getting checks in the mail. They were all getting money deposited to their account. That is what caused that massive run-up in inflation. And Biden was at the very heart of it, wanting to, oh, we got to send more money out, and don't worry about working.
And now we're, what, the third straight month of inflation right now is confirmed. That was through March, not including where we're at in April, whatever that might look like.
Yeah, no, and they thought that it was coming down. It's not been coming down. It's actually, it was much higher. We had a 9% inflation a couple of years ago. It's come down to like 3.5-4% range, which is where we are today. But it's just a gaslighting of telling us that it's come down so much. This is much higher than anything we've experienced in modern times.
So, you know, the big question out there from our audience is going to be, okay, Kevin, yeah, we feel it. We see it. It's obvious. It's out there. What do I need to be doing about this?
Well, we're going to get to that in the program. But what I do want to tell you is if they tell you it's all over, inflation comes in waves. For those of you who did not live through the 70s and 80s, like Mike, you and I did, inflation comes in waves. And there's something that they just put out in California, which is a new $20 an hour minimum wage, which is a natural response. And I say, hey, I can't afford to live anymore. Hike my wages.
Does that, the robots get paid $20 an hour as well? Is there a minimum wage for those yet?
No, that's why they moved to robots because that's actually the one area where costs have decreased, and that is in technology. Everything else is going up. Now, here's the problem. Everything's based on, you heard this term. The term is the Consumer Price Index, CPI, right? Do you think that measures inflation?
Do I think it measures? I think it measures inflation the way the government wants to see it measured.
Exactly. You got it right. In fact, the Consumer Price Index looks at a market basket of goods and services that people buy and says and adjust, by the way, adjust very frequently, but says, hey, we're watching consumer behavior. So if you were buying steak one day and, you know, 3 months later, you can't afford steak anymore, you buy hamburger, the market basket changes, which gives them all sorts of rooms to fudge the figures.
Yeah. And like I said in our previous show, the Biden administration was saying, well, people don't realize how good they have it. They're looking too much at the price of eggs and milk out there. But if they look at other things, they're doing good.
They're doing good. They look at the employment rate and all that, which is also doctored statistics. The Biden employment numbers are very heavily skewed because they show part-time workers, they show government workers, and they show people starting their own jobs, creating their own companies, but maybe not really making a living at them. So it looks like the unemployment rate is very low. It's actually much higher than they're acknowledging. And then this inflation thing. I mean, a couple of years ago, Forbes put out an article, it's 10 years ago, back in February of 2014. If you want to know the real rate of inflation, do not bother with the Consumer Price Index. And here's a quote. The government has a few resources at its disposal to manipulate the CPI. First, the Bureau of Labor Statistics operates under a veil of secrecy. The raw data used to calculate the CPI is not available to the public. So companies can't compare prices. This makes very little sense because you can compare prices just using a computer, but the CPI, they're trying to hide it all from us.
Yeah, and I saw in terms of job growth, the percentage of jobs that are being created right now aren't from the private sector. They're from government jobs.
That's right. They're manipulating all of the statistics. But sticking with the CPI just for a second, did you know they've changed 20 times in the past 30 years? And that was 10 years ago. This is a quote from Forbes. Over the past 30 years, the government has changed the way it calculates inflation more than 20 times. You know what? They've changed it at least three or four times since then that I've noticed. And they're just...
In the spirit of continuous improvement?
Yeah, right. here's a perfect example. You know why the CPI was really low for a period? If you notice how the price of your televisions have gone down, right?
Yes.
TVs have gone down and they've gotten bigger. So what they're doing is they compare a big screen like a 65-inch television today with 20 years ago, a 65-inch television might have cost you $25,000. Right. Now you can get it on sale at Walmart for $500, right?
Yeah.
So they take that one statistic and they factor that in the Consumer Price Index and say, look, inflation's been going down. Same thing with your iPhone. Do you think your iPhone is the same as it was in 2008?
Definitely not.
It's a much more sophisticated device, right?
Yeah.
So what they do is they calculate what the iPhone with modern computing capabilities would have cost in 2008, and then they show the decrease in price. But let me ask you another question. Has the price of your iPhone, when you've gone to renew your cell phone subscription, bought a new iPhone, has it gone up or down?
It's going up. Well, it has more technology, it's going up. And my TV, I buy one of those about every 10 years maybe. So that's not a significant cost.
Absolutely. So we're looking and we're talking inflation here at Pirate Money Radio. It's hurting real people. The statistics are being doctored. There's nothing to see here from the government, but you know you're personally feeling the pain. We'll be right back after a break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
We're talking inflation here. You know, we've just covered how the government manipulates the statistics that they claim are inflation rate. A couple of years ago, they told us, oh, don't worry about it. This is transitory. Then they told us, you know, oh, you know, it's you're actually seeing better results. And, you know, they claiming inflation's going down. What they mean, the rate of inflation has been going down. It's not giving us cheaper prices in anything. We're dealing with shrinkflation. We're dealing with more expensive groceries, rent, gas, you name it, the things that are real to us. Mike, where are you feeling inflation the most? What area is impacting you and your family?
Well, I think the one I notice every time is when I fill up at the pump, or I remember it's about twice what it used to be. My cars aren't always the most gas efficient, so I see it there. But my utility bill, I mean, I'm amazed at how much that's dramatically increased now. You know, all the monthly utility bills, but that energy bill is there. And then restaurants. I'm telling you, when I go to the restaurant, it's like, can I order the kids' meal?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, if you don't go to the restaurant, where do you go for food? You eat at home, right?
Yeah, we do.
Are you feeling it there as well?
I feel it there as well. But all of a sudden, the steaks I put on the grill the other day, I knew how much those cost us. I ran it through my head. It's like, it's still a better value to eat at home, but it's still expensive.
Yeah, no, it costs about as much to eat at home as it used to cost to eat out.
That's exactly at a restaurant. What I came to.
All right, so Wall Street Journal's got an article out April 4th that says how far $100 goes at the grocery store after 5 years of food inflation. I remember my wife and I, we'd go every week, we'd go to the grocery store, and it didn't matter what we bought. I used to recall this. We'd put whatever we'd put in the grocery cart, and by the time we paid for it, it was around $100. It's $95 to $105. I thought that was just a weird coincidence that it doesn't matter how we filled it. There is no way I can fill a grocery cart and walk out for $100. Absolutely not. We've had 5 years of food inflation that's just gone crazy. And really, let's be honest, that food inflation really started right about the time that the Trump administration left and the Biden administration came in.
Absolutely. I've not been following the pricing of bugs. Are those keeping up with inflation, or is that going to be the answer?
I don't know. I've never bought bugs to eat. I remember we bought ladybugs one time and put them out in the yard because my daughters loved ladybugs, and they're good for the garden. But I don't think I've ever, other than that, ever bought bugs.
I was just curious because, you know, they said they're going to eat bugs and like it. And yeah. I was trying to figure that one out.
Exactly. Well, here from the Wall Street Journal, prices for hundreds of grocery items have increased more than 50% since 2019 as food companies raised their prices. Executives have said that higher prices were needed to offset their own rising costs for ingredients, transportation, and labor. Some lawmakers and the Biden administration have criticized food companies for using tactics such as shrinkflation, in which companies shrink their products but not their prices. Some food company executives have said that shoppers will adjust over time to higher prices, just as they have in the past. How much adjusting can you do from here?
Yeah. It's getting to the point where the package is going to be shrunk so much they can go to a smaller grocery store soon. There'll be, you know, more shelf space out there.
All right. So people are right now, speaking of that, shopping at multiple stores so they can get the best prices on single items. That's something we did. I remember as a kid, my mom would look and say, well, this is meat's on sale over here, or milk's on sale. And we would drive all over town getting the groceries. But with gas prices this high, you really can't do that, can you?
No, but it does remind me. I remember back in the 70s, I had a neighbor, older neighbor, who he would come to me every week and he would say, this is back in the 80s, right out of college. And he'd like, oh, there's a sale on milk over here. And he'd read all the ads and looked at where the best deals were and what he could buy. I haven't paid attention to a grocery store ad in years.
Well, but we don't get newspapers anymore. You used to get a newspaper and you'd look and you'd clip coupons and all that. That doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. But what people are doing is they're, according to the Wall Street Journal article, they're eating rice and beans instead of meat. They're planning out meals a month in advance. They're not taking food for granted. This is exactly what they did in the early stages in Venezuela. Yeah. Right before they had their massive food inflation. So a shopping trip costs 1.5 to 2 times as much. What we're facing now, though, is people are moving down market. They're not just going to the stores that they went to. you know, not the Krogers and the Safeways and so forth. They're going down market and they're looking more to the dollar stores, which aren't dollar stores anymore.
No, no. And I saw the article as we were briefing on this thing. The 99-cent stores are out of business now.
Exactly. All 371 locations are winding down their business, and Dollar Tree is closing 600 Family Dollar stores in the first half of 2024. So people are going down market. Dollar stores have lost their ability, their pricing power, at just the time people are desperate to go to them. So now they have $7 items at the dollar store, not just $1 items.
Which is irritating. And I saw in out there that one consumer said, well, if I'm going to pay $7, I might as well just buy all my stuff at Walmart and forget about this.
Oh, that's right. That is a zero hedge. Dollar Tree shoppers revolt over $7 items. But here's the squeeze. Between the people are moving down market. If you normally shopped at a dollar store, you may not be able to afford it. The people who can afford it, the middle class, that are moving down market, they're wanting stuff there. But the problem is the dollar store can't produce it anymore at those prices. Their source of cheap goods and cheap food has gone away.
That's sad to see. You know, I remember when I was in the consumer products business, how we would try and purposely look at products we had and determine how we could hit those price points, either by sizing or whatever else the case might be. With shrinkflation, they've done all that. They've maximized everything they can. And what it tells me is there's nowhere to go but take pricing up now.
Right. And that is what the Biden administration is blaming the owners for. And the owners are going out of business because they can't afford it anymore. Yeah. That's a really sad thing. We talked about it. So I'll just eat at McDonald's. That's cheap, right? They got the $1 meals and all that. No, that's not true anymore either. McDonald's menu prices have increased by over 100% during the last decade. That was a study that was just released in the New York Post on April 3rd. 100% increase. Have you seen that? Have you
been to McDonald's? I've seen it. And you know me. I always like to go for the value when I'm shopping out there. Those value meals aren't that big of a value. And you look at the new electronic digital screens now, and you're like, wait a second, they're advertising all the bigger stuff. Where's that senior or that kids meal stuff? Where, how do I find the cheap stuff on there? You got to look hard to find it. And it's an art and a science if you can find the deals out there at fast food now.
Yeah, and there's this new surge pricing at Wendy's. Yeah. It's like Uber. You know, if it's a really busy time, you're leaving a ball game or something, and you need to get an Uber, they're all taken up, so the price surges to like 3-4 times. Wendy's is talking about doing that with their menu. If a bunch of people are coming in and times are good, they're just going to hike the price.
I saw that. And what, you know me, what that's going to cause me to do is if I'm eating a late lunch, I'm like, I'm going to go to Wendy's where I can get a good deal. And if it's busy, I'm not going there.
Yeah. So this is a real huge impact on our economy. One of the things it says in this New York Post article, it says the Chicago-based burger giant McDonald's has been slammed with customer complaints over eye-popping prices, including, can you believe it, $18 for a Big Mac meal in Connecticut.
I bought an $18 burger at a fancy restaurant. It was more like a steak burger, and I've adjusted to that now. That's my new steak. A McDonald's burger at $18? That's hard.
It is hard. And $7.29 for a single Egg McMuffin, not a meal, just an Egg McMuffin.
Man, time to get some chickens.
Yeah, the McDouble sandwich, which in 2014 cost an average $1.19, now costs three times that amount, $3.19. Medium fries was $1.59. It's now $3.79. McDonald's has admitted in recent weeks, I'm quoting, that its menu is increasingly out of reach for those Americans who are struggling under the weight of soaring levels of inflation. And yet, despite that, it says California Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law a new minimum wage measure that raises hourly pay for fast food workers to $20 an hour.
Yeah, and when the great part would be when I pay for that with my credit card, on top of the $20 an hour, I'm going to get the thing that says, do you want a tip on top of this?
Oh, my. And that's true. Do they ask for a tip when it's a robot or taking your order at the kiosk?
Yeah, it might be. And with AI, you might have to pay it or you're afraid they're going to mess something up. They'll purposely do something.
Yeah, they'll take your credit card and ruin you. Hey, so it's a wage price spiral. This is why it's not transitory inflation, people.
I have some good news, though.
What's that?
I think my cholesterol is dropping.
Why? Because you're eating less
than McDonald's? Because fries went from $1.59 to $3.79 the other day. I was like, I think I'll just get the burger.
Yeah. So less fries. Have you heard about the new all potato diet?
No.
There's a new diet, all potato. There's a scientific study that says eating only potatoes can lower your cholesterol. It's got all these side benefits, and scientists can't figure out why that is. I have no idea how that works, but I guess they're not fried
potatoes.
Pretty
sure it's not the fried ones.
Yeah, so that's probably it. Bottom line is the wage price spiral. Raising the minimum wage is happening all across the country, and it forces higher prices and hurts the people it's supposed to help. California's $20 fast food minimum wage balloons menu prices. This is, again, New York Post, April 2nd, with some chains increasing costs by nearly $2 per meal. So we had this massive run-up in prices that are being reported in the March Consumer Price Index. But on top of that, we now have the largest state in the union, California, at least for now. I don't know, how long is California going to stay the largest state in the union with people moving out?
Yeah, it's unfortunately, well, I don't know. We're getting a lot of that migration from California to Texas right now. And some of that's good, people that recognize freedom and liberty. Some of it, they're wanting to bring, they're the disciples. They're bringing that same mentality. We don't want that.
They are. But you know, here's funny. Burger King, the biggest leap, this is again from the New York Post. Biggest leap was at Burger King in California, where a Texas double Whopper meal. They're calling it a Texas double Whopper meal. They're in California and they're selling them Texas because they know that's what's popular. Cost $15.09 on March 29th, but surged to $16.89 on April 1st. It increased overnight by $1.80. 12% for the same meal. The Big Fish meal jumped from $7.49 on the menu before April 1st to $11.49 after an increase. Now, that's surge pricing. Maybe that's, you know, I don't know what that is. A Big Fish meal jumping $4 in one night. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So where do lower income people go to eat? You can't go to McDonald's. You can't go to Burger King. Where are they going to go?
I don't know. I saw Olive Garden now is a gourmet restaurant. You have to have an income of at least $75,000.
Yeah, that's again New York Post. New York Post put out a lot of important information here recently. The title is Olive Garden is too expensive if you're making less than $75,000. That is nuts. Olive Garden's a great place to go, I think. Take your family. Here are your family. And, you know, it's a place we used to go, but it's gotten so expensive. So middle class is going down from Olive Garden to McDonald's, and those that were going to McDonald's, where can they go to eat? This is inflation. It's hurting real people in real ways. This is Pirate Money Radio. We'll be back just after the break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that we were getting those nice stimulus checks and we were freed from the bonds of COVID. We could leave our house and go be a part of society again. And people were going out and they were eating. And restaurants were packed. I remember how hard it was to get a reservation. And this was before food prices had dramatically increased. And so people had a little extra money in their pocket. And then we passed the Inflation Reduction Act. And all of a sudden, things became more expensive. Why? Because it was filled with Green New Deal stuff. Producer was talking to me earlier, and he says, let's call it the Green Bad Deal, because it really is a bad deal. And then they were controlling farmers, and they're doing all kinds of things to stop, and food price inflation's gone through the roof. And as a result, restaurants have become unaffordable. The stimulus is worn off. We don't have that cash in our pocket. And the Trump tax cuts that he put in place, they're set to expire next year. Bottom line is, are you feeling it yet? How's that working for you, as Dr. Phil would ask? It doesn't seem to be working too well. Are you feeling it, Mike?
I'm definitely feeling it, and I know our audience is feeling it, so I want to ask you again, but what can I do?
Well, we've got some answers, and that includes weaponizing your money. You know, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here on Pirate Money Radio, we work to bring solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company with coverage on most platforms, including Apple, Android, and several others, Patriot Mobile supports the Pirate Money radio program and others that support Judeo-Christian values. More information about both the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. You weaponize your money. That's what you do about it. You need to be investing. And people are saying, how can I invest? I'm spending all my money on all these things. Well, we've covered this on the Economic War Room show, how to deal with inflation, take your retirement package where you need to invest and things like that. Now, we can't give investment advice on this program because I have no idea what your personal situation is as you're listening to this. I don't know if you're retired. I don't know if you're just starting in your career, just newly married. I have no idea. But there are some general principles about things that we can do. And that is we're going to have to go down market in our shopping. We're going to have to use wisdom. The same things that you're doing, you know, look at the various grocery stores and so forth. But we also have to need to start sharing information one to another. That's why we created Economic War Room, so people could do information sharing.
Yeah. You know what I appreciate so much about the show and what we hear from audience members is it's the one source people can go to where they feel like they're getting factual information. No tinfoil hat stuff, no sensationalism. I mean, there's enough news to be sensational nowadays. But real practical information, understand what's going on geopolitically, what's going on as it relates to inflation, and at least giving people perspective and knowing what they're dealing with so they can develop the game plan that's right for them with their financial advisor. And we know that the true treasure is the treasure that's in heaven. But this is not a time to fear or panic. There are real solutions. We're working on those. Excited to have Pirate Money Radio to help get more of this message out.
Yeah, we need to reach more people. I wrote a book 10 years ago titled Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. And it covered what you do in inflation, what do you do, and so forth. Not everybody can afford an investment advisor. Not everybody has the ability to put money aside and so forth. So we're working on some solutions for that too. Mike, you've been working hard on it. Part of the problem isn't that prices have been going up as much as the value and the purchasing power of the dollar has been going down. And Pirate Money Radio, if we were trading in gold doubloons and pieces of eight like pirates did, they actually have held their value. And that will be the solution we will get to a little later in this program. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to food for a second because it matters so much. I'm hungry now. Are you hungry?
It is getting close to lunchtime, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm getting hungry now. So one of the things I've tried to do, I've lived in Oklahoma, California, and Texas. And in California, I once mentioned like Olive Garden. Hey, do we have one of those around? And somebody looked at me and said, because I was living in Carmel at the time, they said, if you can call it one of those, we don't have it. That was beneath them. They didn't like chain restaurants. They, you know, and I don't like chain restaurants as much as I like the mom and pop restaurants. Yeah. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. The mom and pops are the ones that have the secret recipes and typically the passion because their name or their family is a part of that.
Yeah. So the mom and pops, unfortunately, they're getting really hurt in all of this. You got buying power if you're McDonald's. You can squeeze your suppliers on the potatoes and everything else that you buy for your restaurant. You got buying power if you're Olive Garden. But a mom and pop, here's an article, Wall Street Journal, April 4th. It says the skyrocketing costs driving cheeseburger prices up and restaurant owners out. Independent restaurants are on the financial life support, owners say, squeezed between escalating payroll costs and diners' dwindling tolerance for even higher checks. Wages for waitstaff, table bussers, and line cooks will grow more expensive for many eateries this year, with 22 states in January raising the minimum wage for hourly workers. American restaurants emerged from COVID-19 pandemic to find their traditional economics no longer work. After struggling to stay afloat through lockdowns, and they were given a lot of stimulus money, restaurant operators endured surging food costs and supply chain shortages, and they raised their menu prices. They're up like 30% in January compared to 2019. That's from Labor Department data.
Easily. I mean, I remember when I had both my kids with me. They're growing up now and moving out. But, you know, I could get the family meal for $30 to maybe $35, $40 on average, not high-end restaurant. And now it's basically double that. I mean, I see the new with just one child right now. It's closer to, with tip, usually around $60.
Oh, wow. It's getting crazy. That's why Kellogg's CEO says, let them eat cereal, because what are you going to do? You're going to go down market. The bottom line on food inflation, real people are being hurt. Those at the bottom can't go down market. You said it earlier. Maybe this is why the World Economic Forum tells us we're going to eat bugs. You know what? This green bad deal. We did a whole show on this, the ESG war on farmers. Remember that? It was episode 284. Mm-hmm. You can, if you want to learn more, you can learn more at economicwarroom.com. But we quoted from the Buckeye Institute that farmers' costs are going up $65,000 on average per farm, and the annual grocery bills will go up an additional $1,300 because of these green policies that are being shoved down our throats. They're killing cattle. Because the cat, why do you think they're killing cattle?
Well, supposedly they have a gas problem.
Yes, they emit natural gas, the most natural gas that you can find, and so in Ireland they said they'd need to cull 1.3 million cattle to reach their climate targets. This is what's going on with our inflation, people.
You know, Kevin, is this incompetence or is this according to plan? I mean, can this really be happening by this kind of stupidity, or is it according to plan, as you've kind of had in your previous book?
No, it is absolutely according to plan. The World Economic Forum is demanding that we put these climate goals in, and that's the reason that food is taking up the most of our incomes has in 30 years.
And who's the World Economic Forum?
Klaus Schwab, and then Bill Gates, and then all of the elites. That's what According to Plan was about. And you know what they're demanding now? They're demanding now the solution to all of this is we're going to raise the minimum wage to $50 an hour.
Wow.
This House Democrat, this is from The Blaze, the replacement candidate for Dianne Feinstein's running are demanding a $50 an hour federal minimum wage. That's Barbara Lee. She says, just do the math. Well, what would that do to prices? This is the wage price spiral. This is what happened in the 1970s. And this is what exactly caused people to reject the Jimmy Carter policies and turn to Ronald Reagan. And from Reagan on through Trump, we had low inflation. Then we put back the Carter policies under Biden, and we're seeing almost the same thing.
Which, again, you predicted that early on, as soon as Biden got in. I encourage everybody to see that episode if they get a chance to go back to Economic War Room and look at that, because it's amazing what you called and what's happening right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's called Things Have Changed. That was the episode. It was episode number 125 from February 11th, 2021. Bottom line, we're seeing it beyond this. Mike, you've been in the home building business for quite some time. What are we seeing with home prices?
Unbelievable. I can't even get my head around. I've been out of that business for about 10 years, but starter homes you can't find. Homes that I would perceive to be starter homes in the DFW market, I'm seeing at like 600,000 right now. And it's inconceivable. It's not sustainable. But again, we're seeing not home prices going up so much as the dollar value going down.
Right.
And builders, you know, they've been more efficient. We've talked before about gold and how you can, if you used in gold, you could buy two homes versus the dollar, where we're seeing the average prices skyrocket.
Yeah, no, the statistics on that are startling, how real money has preserved its purchasing power. But I saw this from CBS News, 575 counties. The home prices in 99% of those are beyond the reach of the average income earner who makes $71,214 a year. So that you can't afford to eat out at Olive Garden. You can't afford, average income earners, middle class, can't buy a home. Mortgage rates are 7%. And normally we would think that mortgage rates, high mortgage rates, would cause housing prices to fall because people wouldn't be able to afford it and buy it. But the supply has fallen faster than the demand has fallen because nobody wants to give up their 3% mortgage.
Yeah, and I think there's a scarcity mentality too for those that can eke out a home right now. They think, if I don't buy it now, I'm not going to be able to afford it.
And so what they're doing is nearly one in five homeowners and renters is reportedly skipping meals to afford housing in Biden's economy. This is from American Update, according to a new survey conducted by Redfin. I mean, this isn't some tinfoil hat thing. Redfin did a survey. The median asking rental price increased from less than $1,700 when Biden took office in January 2021 to nearly $2,000 as of February of this year, according to Redfin data. They were sacrificing to stay in their home. The American dream of home ownership, gone. You mentioned already gas prices. Gas prices fell when they lowered the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. They sold off all the oil, and now they can't even afford to replenish it. We're seeing across the board real world hurt in this Biden economy because he's adopted really bad policies. You're feeling it, right, Mike?
Oh, we're definitely feeling it. And I think also we're seeing people come around and say, wait a second, you know, does capitalism really work anymore?
Yeah, well, that is the question. Hey, if you've got a question, we want to hear from you. If you have that question, send it to afr@piratemoneyradio.com. We're talking inflation. We're going to take a break. When we come back in the final segment, we're going to actually give you a very creative, very unique, powerful solution that your state can implement to protect you from inflation.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
We are all feeling the effects of runaway inflation. It's gotten crazy out here. The latest consumer price index, which is a really phony measure of inflation, rose 3.5% from a year ago in March, much more than expected. Why? Well, we have a wage price spiral. You know it. You're seeing it in energy. You see it in gasoline. That's an input cost, by the way. You see it in housing. You see it in food. Everything that you actually are buying, you can't afford, you don't have enough extra money to go buy a TV. So the price in TVs coming down is not helping you. You're being harmed across the board. And yet, they're playing gimmicks to try and lower inflation like they sold off our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Did you see that, Mike?
Yeah, that was smart, and now they can't afford to refill it.
Yeah, smart meaning facetiously, you're saying. Yeah. It's not smart at all. And this is creating what even Wall Street says is going to be stickier inflation and higher rates. That's Jamie Dimon, you know, the head of JP Morgan Chase in Yahoo Finance. He's worried about stickier inflation and higher rates. Here's a quote from a wealth advisor. Wall Street's increasingly worried about inflation's resurgence. And here even BlackRock, and we don't say that name lightly here, the dreaded BlackRock that everybody's heard so much about, the world's largest asset managers on record saying inflation will rebound later in the year. And does that put your retirement at risk?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a lot of people living on fixed incomes, and inflation hits, that just comes directly out of it.
This is almost hard to believe. Northwestern Mutual did a study, and they found that adults believe they will need to have $1.46 million saved in order to retire. That's 15% greater than last year, and it's up 53% from what they thought they'd need before Biden took office.
Yeah, I remember when a million used to be pretty good. That alone says the inflation's thing right now. Now it's almost 1.5 million.
Well, if people think they need 1.5 million, how much have they actually saved? Well, in 2024, the amount they've saved for retirement has $88,400. It's down $900 because they had to cover the higher food costs, the higher gas prices. So they think they need more and they're getting less. This is not a good, this is what we start off talking right track, wrong track. This is absolutely wrong track.
Yeah, let's talk about that for just a second. Should I be discouraged if that's what I've got to say? Because the reality is that many of our audience, many of us aren't that far off from those numbers.
Yeah, so we've got to go back. And you've mentioned a couple of times, we've got the couple of shows that we've done on inflation and things have changed and stuff. To get to those shows, if you want to learn more, you can go to economicwarroom.com and click on the episode link. And we're going to put these previous shows that we've done talking about immigration, talking about the national debt. All of this impacts the economy. And the previous Pirate Money Radio shows, we hope to put up at piratemoneyradio.com. But here's the last question. Is it going to get worse? Are we one event away from a 1970s style stagflation? Mike, your thought?
Well, let's say, what is stagflation? Let's define that.
Stagflation means when your personal economy is going down and prices are going up. That's what it bottom line means, is that it's exactly what I just said. Things are getting worse for you, so you have less money and prices keep going higher.
So it kind of feels like that's where we're headed.
That's exactly what Zero Hedge says with this headline. We're one event away from a 1970s style stagflation explosion. But again, if you ask President Biden what's causing inflation, he's going to say, well, it's grocery stores. They're charging you too much. It's the gas companies. They're charging you too much. But what did he say in 1978? Did you see that headline I sent you, Mike?
It's amazing. It just goes to prove that Joe Biden's mind isn't working like it used to, I guess.
Or his politics have changed dramatically since 78. Read that headline. Have you got it there?
Joe Biden slams inflation and runaway government spending in 1978 campaign ad.
So in 1978, when he was running for the Senate, back when he had all of his youth and faculties, the quote is, President Joe Biden derided inflation and the size of federal government back in 1978. The ad, which ran in a Wilmington News Journal in October, ahead of Biden's reelection to the Senate that year, touts Biden's commitment to reducing the federal budget and government largesse as key steps in taming the inflation that had hampered the American economy for most of the 1970s. We must bring these problems under control, and the first place to start is the cost of government. You know what? We spent total spending in 1978, $458 billion. The deficit was $59 billion. We pay more than twice that in interest only today. I sure wish Senator Biden from 1978 would have a talk with President Biden today.
Yeah, it really reinforces that according to plan discussion we had in the previous segment there. This can't be happening by in accident or incompetence. It certainly appears like there's a plan.
You know where it started, though? It started in 1971 when President Nixon took us off the gold backing behind our currency. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, from that day to the present, inflation's wiped out about 80% of our purchasing power. Almost 90%, 90, actually.
Yeah. I mean, we're about a 3.5% this month, isn't it?
Yeah. A McDonald's meal in 1971 cost $1. Now it's about $15, according to what we're looking at. So that's the theme of Pirate Money Radio, the theme of the book I wrote, Pirate Money, which people who want to learn more can go to piratemoneybook.com. Inflation is not prices going up. It really is a symptom of our money having less purchasing power. Why? Because we're making too much money. And you know what? Even the Federal Reserve, in a new study that just came out this year, it says price level determination under the gold standard. Here's the quote. The gold standard ensures long-run price stability. The price level in the home country consistently converges to its long-run equilibrium value. Inflation, deflation are merely temporary phenomena. In other words, if you got gold and silver backing your money, guess what? Your money holds its value, and you don't have to deal with inflation in the long term.
Now, wait a second. So that's from the Federal Reserve themselves.
Philadelphia Fed put this out, titled Price Level Determination Under the Gold Standard. It just came out this year, and they themselves endorsed a gold standard. The Fed gets it right. Have you seen that, Mike, what the minimum wage in 1964 was?
I did, and I remember my grandpa used to have a grocery store when I was a very little kid, and he was collecting all those silver quarters that when they would come in, because they were starting to transfer out of those in the, it was probably 67, 68. He said, these are the ones that are worth real money. And I saw that meme. Well, go ahead and share what that meme shows.
Yeah, well,
right now.
The meme is five quarters in 1964 would meet the minimum wage. So you could get paid five quarters, that'd be an hour's wage. And you know what? Five quarters today would be worth over $25, The melt value, if they are pre-1964 quarters with real silver in them. In other words, the silver's kept its purchasing power. $25 an hour, that's pretty good wages. Yeah. It's better than the hike in California.
Yeah, things were affordable back then for that $1.25. So
exactly. Well, you could buy your McDonald's meal for under that then. So bottom line is that it's not a really an inflation phenomenon. It's a dollar losing value purchasing power phenomena. I saw another study. It's a meme. 10 kilogram bars, gold. In 1929, 10 of those would buy you an average home. In 2024, 10 of those is worth about $750,000. That, wow. Would that buy an average home?
That get me a slightly above average home in Dallas right now.
Yeah, so. I'll put it, because we don't think in kilograms. Here in America, we use ounces. So I translated that to ounces. Gold was $20 an ounce in 1929, and a house cost $5,000. So that meant essentially 25 ounces of gold would buy you a nice house. Now, gold is over $2,000 an ounce. You multiply that by 25, and that would give you $500,000.
Yeah. You know, you say it's over $2,000 an ounce, and it's hard to get our head around this because that was just a few weeks ago, a month or two ago, and now it's, pushing to $2,400.
Yeah. It's been as high as $2,350, $2,400. It's right in that range. The bottom line is that we're beginning to see this wage price spiral impact everything. And it's really not inflation. It's really the purchasing power of our dollars declining. And it's happening in all around the world, not just in the United States. Wherever there are fiat currencies, fiat means that it's backed by nothing. And this is quoting from Thomas Jefferson, one of our founders. He says, paper is poverty, when he's talking about money. Paper is poverty. So bottom line is we left the gold standard under Nixon. Gold was confiscated to where you couldn't even own it under FDR. And Mises Wire has out saying if we could fix FDR's biggest blunder and go back to the gold standard, it would solve all these problems. Mike, how can we go back to the gold standard?
The work that we're doing with transactional gold and silver and with the states recognizing gold and silver's legal tender is that simple solution that was given to us by our founders in Article 1, Section 10.
Now, people say, I can't buy gold. I can't afford it. I have no money. I can't buy. What if you, instead of thinking of using money to buy gold, you thought of gold and silver as money? That is the mind shift that's necessary to truly understand what we're talking about. Now, we can't go into depth and detail on it in this program. Time is running out. But I wrote a book, Pirate Money. Mm-hmm. If people want to learn more, they can go to piratemoneybook.com and get a copy of it. How many states have we taken this big idea to?
Well, we've been working at 25 states, and that is legislatively. That's getting through hearings. We're seeding ideas that we're moving to next year, but it is moving. It has become a movement. And I want to also emphasize, we are not selling gold. Unlike all the other shows out there that are trying to sell you a specific product, we're not doing that. We're selling a solution, an idea that represents fair weights and values across America right now.
So bottom line is, imagine the state you live in, Ohio or Tennessee or Florida or Texas or Utah. If they made gold and silver money again and you didn't have to rely on paper dollars, it's a way to transact. It's a way to do business. This is Pirate Money Radio, real solutions for real economic problems. Join us again next week.